Take your Bible and turn with me, if you will. You may still have it open to Revelation 19, but just turn back, if you will, to the little book of Jude, which is just before Revelation. Jude, only one chapter, but I'd like to read, I'll read verse 3. Jude 1 and verse 3, he says, "Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you, exhorting you to contend for the faith which was once and for all delivered to the saints." Now, my message today is really a very simple message. I believe the devil is trying to tempt you. He's trying to lead you astray. He doesn't want you to have hope that you have a reservation at the marriage supper of the Lamb. He wishes to destroy your faith. He wishes to involve you in some type of sin, some type of condition that causes you to believe that you are not ready for the kingdom of God. And I suppose there could be a lot of those. But in contending for the faith today, I'm taking the position that God's people are being delivered today. That's the title of our message, God's People Delivered. There comes a time, yes, at the second coming of Christ, the heavens ablaze with the mighty representative host of heaven and Jesus Himself coming. But until then, I want you to believe that God is working today in your life. And I feel impressed to take the scripture about temptation. I don't know what you are being harassed with, but if you contend for the faith, it means that you are being faithful. Okay? That's what it means. Will you turn over to 1 Corinthians 10? 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. The Bible record is that there has no temptation overtaken you except such as common to man, but God is faithful. Think about this a little bit. Your temptation is different, maybe, from the person sitting next to you, or it may be the same. But Satan's goal is equal. Satan wants to destroy you. God wants to build you up. God wants to embrace you. God wants to place a seal upon you. And the Bible says that God will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. Do you believe this? But that God, with the temptation, will also make the way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So, what is the temptations here that might be a message for us today? What is it that Satan could be using to destroy us? I know one thing. It's theology. Satan wants to use theology to blind our faith to the great and mighty God that we serve. Our sermon recently was about opening up communication to people who have different orientation than we have, people who may not believe things exactly the way that we do. And by the way, we are a perfect people, aren't we? You know, we've got it all figured out. But the idea being that as people of God and people of faith, the original faith delivered to the saints was one that says, He is the master deliverer. And if brothers and sisters in Christ, we can be faithful, then we are going to make it. But in theology, sometimes there's the idea that God sends, no, let me back up, that God always sends pain in order that we might learn something from it. Sometimes that's true. I don't know that God sends the pain, but God allows the circumstances of choices and life and other people's choices. But God's not the author of pain. He's the author of making all things work together for good to those that love the Lord. But it's God's intention right now to have His people delivered from such things that would keep them from being completely given to the support of the cause of God. Let me just mention a couple more here this morning. Turn with me to Psalms chapter 34. You know, it's really embarrassing not to be able to find the book of Psalms and you're the pastor. I've got it here. Pretty close to the middle. Psalms 34 and verse 4. He says, I sought the Lord and He heard me. And He delivered me from all my fears. Now, this can be physical or this can be mental. Are you with me? You may have things going on in your life that you cannot even identify. But nothing is a secret to God. It happened to me last night. Donna says to me, what were you yelling about? I wanted an explanation. She said, well, during the night when you were sleeping, you were yelling out about something. I could barely remember. I could not remember what I must have been troubled over. But hey, that's a good thing, right? I mean, I used to wake up with nightmares about dogs. And I had an encounter with a dog and I hit it. It was coming right at my face. I was on my knees and I hit it with a hammer. And I shouldn't tell this here, but since then, I've not had any more nightmares about dogs. Now, David says, I've spoken to the Lord, and He delivered me from my fears. He had a lot that he was worried about. Different times in his life, he had been rich and he had been poor. He had been very settled in his palace, and then he's become a fugitive. As you know, his family life was just not really an example for everybody to follow. You with me? It involved a lot of negative things. But in the end, he could be able to say, the Lord has delivered me from my fears. Now notice verse 6. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. Who is this poor man in verse 6? Is it Jesus or the devil or is it David? One out of three, that's pretty good, isn't it? This poor man cried out to the Lord, and He heard him. And as you study the life of David, he had to come to the Lord more than once. He was not a very stable person. his life could be spiritually high, and then he could just be down in the valley. He did things that you and I do not wish to choose to do. He was able to have a mental change and mental reinforcement, and he got it by crying out to God. God, help me. And God helped him. You know, when God's people are delivered, we are delivered from a lot of different things. Tomorrow at 3 o'clock, I hope to be in a banquet celebrating deliverance in the lives of about 10 people from tobacco. That's a very difficult habit to get over. Some people have an easier time than others. Right, Patrick? Sometimes. But when deliverance comes, each person is able to shout, I didn't do it on my own. I had help. God is working for you in ways that you cannot imagine. There's no temptation that's crossed or intersected in your life that the power of God is not larger for, or not larger of. He that is within you is greater than the power that is without. That is, if you allow the power of Christ to be exercised in you. That's the reason that we must be faithful. You cannot stop being faithful. Actually, here in Psalms 34, what I'm getting at, it's not all physical, but it's also mental. It's emotional. God does something for the brain that allows you in the middle of bad circumstances to be able to say, I know in whom I have believed, and he has kept me. I enjoyed the testimony of Kayla right here today. You didn't know this, but when I got here today, I walked in that room to see who was in the congregation. See, I have to figure out what I'm going to say. So I want to know who's in here. I gave my secret away, didn't I? I was looking for my daughter, Stephanie, among other people. And I saw you and didn't know who you were, so I asked. Well, that's Daniel's daughter. You are known here now by your father. Wouldn't it be nice if we're known by our Father? Amen. I mean, praise the Lord for that. It is a mind situation. We are able to conquer by the renewing of the mind. But we put things together in a practical way also. You cannot expect God to do for you what you can do for yourself. Right? Trick question. When it comes to salvation, we cannot manufacture that. And you're getting this out of Romans in Sabbath school. But when it comes to cooperating with God, you have to respond back to his goodness to you. Jesus is soon to come. He wants his brothers and sisters to be faithful. And the devil is tugging at your mind and at your family, and at people you work with to try to destroy your faith. I'm just trying to tell it like it is. But don't you let him. You are being delivered right now. The good angels can say to the bad angels, go away. I read a text this morning out of Psalms 56:13. One of my good friends in the Ranger Church is struggling right now. I know he would not mind me asking. Please pray for Jimmy Walker. His heart is operating at 16%. He's going up to Nashville toward the end of this week. We just talk openly about living and dying. I don't know any other way to do it. Our testimony should be, whether we live or die, it's to the glory of God. Now you cannot have that experience unless you spend some time with God. David tells us here in the book of Psalms that the Lord has delivered his soul. Now that's mental. That's all up here in the brain. How you think really does respond to the way you act. No, I've got that backwards. The way you act responds to the way you think. And if you can get your mind on right with God's help, then you can act and you can verbalize those actions in a way that shows that you have been connected with Him. Psalms 107 has an interesting verse. Psalms 107 and verse 6. Big, big thought here. How do you do this if you're faced with health challenges or if you are in relationships that are falling apart? Or if someone is suing you, or if you are about to lose your job. I mean, a lot of crazy things happen. Listen to verse 6. Psalms 107, beginning with verse 6. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. The challenge here is, it doesn't tell us how long it takes God to do that. Are you with me? I want a message today that says God's people are being delivered today. Yes, we read about the marriage supper of the Lamb. We read about Jesus coming. But I believe good things are happening to God's people today, right now. Have you ever thought about, if Jesus were to come very soon, how many people would not be ready to meet Him? Let me rephrase the question. Do you have loved ones that are not ready for Jesus to come? I see heads shaking all over the auditorium, and you that are not shaking your head, you're not being honest. Sometimes I think of that. I'm praying a contradictory prayer. Even so, Lord Jesus, come soon. And I have relatives that I've just not seen in their lifestyle a surrender to God. Now, I'm glad God's the judge. How do we really pray, even so, come, Lord Jesus, quickly, when we have loved ones that are not ready to come, not ready for His coming? We pray that prayer believing that God's looking for ways to save people, not condemn people. We are challenged with making our calling and election sure, and I think in so doing it should be a signal or a message to other people that the ministry of Scripture is truthful. Hey, can I tell you what I did last evening? I Googled this. Why trust the Bible? And I got this idea from the chaplain at Gordon Hospital. He said, people want to trust the Bible for salvation, but they don't want to trust it for health reasons. I thought that's an interesting observation. I believe the Bible because of the God that it introduces me to. Archaeology proves the Bible to my satisfaction. And when I go through the prophecies one by one, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome, and all of the identifying marks of the beast power, all of that, it cannot just happen. So in my mind, I have a conviction and an energization to try to convince people to believe what the Bible says. And the Bible says, blessed are those that are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. His mercy endures forever. That He will deliver the godly out of temptation. And that as we contend for the faith, we are really putting on the righteousness of the saints. Turn with me to Revelation 20, and I'm going to close here. There is a literal description of the deliverance of God's people. In verse 1 of chapter 19, in Revelation, John says, after these things I heard a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power belong to the Lord our God. Someday you are going to hear the voice of God that pierces through the darkened clouds. A voice that says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. And until then, you are in the process of being delivered. And you are in the process of seeing God working in your life and in the lives of other people. Give Him some credit. Even though you may not understand everything that's happening, that's okay. Sin is not logical. The effects of sin are not logical. But He is.